Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk, the podcast sponsored by FundApps, the compliance monitoring and reporting specialists. This season, we are talking tech. How is tech future-proofing financial services? What have we learnt? And what do we seem to never learn? As well as talking tech this season, in each episode, we get to know our experts on a more personal level and get them to share a bit about their pet hates and what's on their wish list. It's time to meet today's guest. I'm Sally Yates, and I'm your host on Let's Talk. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Let's Talk. Today, we are joined by Anders Kirkeby. Welcome, Anders. Lovely to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in the industry.
Sure. I think in the last 15 years, so I've spent at SimCorp working across different roles, product management and enterprise architecture, and more recently in what we call open innovation. It's about co-creation and standing up a new partnership program. And before that, I have a background in the tech scene.
So very much tech background,
yeah.
Innovation, open innovation sounds really exciting. I look forward to talking about that a little bit later as well. Our overarching theme of the Let's Talk podcast is future-proofing your business. And this is obviously more important than ever for businesses that not only want to survive, but also thrive. So in your role heading up SimCorp's open innovation team, how do you define innovation? It's a bit of a loaded question.
It is very much a loaded question. I think especially in the beginning of my when we stood up this new function, I spent a ton of time thinking about what is innovation and why should anybody care and how do we create impact from that. And I went through a lot of different definitions and I in the end I kind of found that whole exercise a little bit not very fruitful, to be honest, because the definitions probably don't really matter that much to clients. I think what does matter is whether innovation, that is anything that is an improvement upon what people are doing today, whether it actually gets adopted. Because if you look at across the entire fintech scene, there's a ton of innovation going on. We can discuss that some of it is a little bit like the next guy did, but there is a lot of innovation. Some of it incremental, some of it more sort of breaking the mold. But the problem is that not a lot of it gets adopted, at least not as much as could be adopted. And that's really what's driving the work I'm doing and me personally, because we've done a number of surveys over the last 2 or 3 years now, really showing that in the industry, we only serve the buy side, but of the institutional investment management space. But there is an interest in adopting innovation. There's an awareness that there's stuff they might be missing, but there's not a lot of adoption going on.
It's that trepidation, isn't it? Has someone else adopted it first? Can I prove it? Can I sell it into my firm? No one wants to be sacked for being the first. But if you're coming a little bit later, you can say, look, here's the proof points. It's worth us trying. It's worth us investing that time and effort.
There is definitely that element of not wanting to be fired for making the wrong choice and stuff. And I mean, this industry that we serve is quite conservative. So that makes sense. But it's also a question of, when you work in a corporate environment, there is only so much bandwidth for taking on change. You have a business. A lot of people talk about having a bank to run, right? So that takes priority. And then on top of that, people also have to change. And you've got finite budgets, finite bandwidth, and a number of colleagues. You actually need to move with a different process. So there's a lot of friction that is working against innovation adoption.
That's interesting. You mentioned the change the bank phenomena there in your response. And it's something you hear a lot on the sales side, the using your budget to run the bank, which predominantly is the majority of your budget. And I think particularly if we're talking about things like compliance technology, it's kind of seen as a necessary evil. But innovation, true disruption, true change obviously comes from the change the bank prospect. So what have you seen through open innovation, but in the industry in general, that truly is disruptive and can change the bank, can jump ahead, you know, make the business thrive?
So when we work in the fintech industry, we obviously think that the solution to the problem is some kind of technology. And I'm no different. I see that as well, right? I really honestly believe that there is so much stuff that we are offering across fintech companies to investment managers who can actually, which would make a massive difference. But taking it in is a challenge. You have to be able to allocate a certain capacity to work with change. And as you say, there's a shed load of competing priorities, and how do you actually work with that? I think what we've seen where it works the best are companies that actually have a very clear view on where they need to be. That sounds extremely trivial, but because everybody will have a mission statement and all of that stuff, but not everybody actually lives it. So there is a difference in how much direction a company puts into where they want to go. So we have clients where they have a stated ambition that they want to be in that particular place. They want to shift the business, different way of serving their clients or making their clients happy, be that serving the next generation, for instance, in a better way. If you have that overarching vision, then you can actually sort of slot in technology projects to support that. If it's purely about, if you will, survival, to just be a bit provocative, then it's perhaps less exciting.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And as you say, stated ambition is a very different thing to activated ambition. What were you expecting to see in 2022 in terms of ambition, innovation, and perhaps what didn't we see? And then also maybe take that further into, and what are you hoping for in 2023?
I think the most important thing that I or we see at SimCorp is really this shift towards consuming, or towards having a clear view as to what is actually your core operational activities. Because if you're an investment manager, you are operating a number of different functions, ranging from data management and back office to the front office and so on. But not all of that is actually a core activity for you. It is not something that where you necessarily always add value to the process. It has to be done. But the question is whether it needs to be you. In a sense, you can say that's just classical outsourcing thinking. But we are seeing a shift now, because for many years now, we've been developing very efficient, good cloud-based solutions. So that's a technology enabler for this. But now we're also seeing an appetite to actually buy into business process services in new areas. So an area, for instance, that we are looking at is compliance. Traditionally, asset managers would have been responsible for maintaining a massive universe of compliance rules, investment compliance, that is, and then maintain that for whenever there's a new portfolio, they have to go in and reject that and so on. And increasingly, that kind of activity is coming up for consideration for outsourcing. And I think that makes a ton of sense, because if even a decent sized asset manager will still only have a relatively small compliance team, and it can be difficult to actually run, if you will, sort of a really well motivated sustainable setup if it's only three people.
Yeah, as you say, I mean, if they're investment management firms, concentrate on what you're actually there to do, and that's the investment management, and outsource what's not your speciality.
Yep.
But it's an age-old debate, right? What do you outsource? What do you insource? What confidence do you have to be able to outsource? So in terms of 2023, what are you hoping to see in terms of ambition and innovation?
I think this adoption of outsource services in areas where people didn't think about it in the past, I really think that is a game changer potentially. What we have seen in recent years is that because of technology, we've seen the shift of what is outsourced and what is insourced has actually changed. So in the buy side, there used to be a lot of asset owners who would completely outsource their entire front office, because again, same argument: you need a lot of people, you need a lot of technology, it's expensive. But because the technology solutions available are becoming so good, we've actually seen a lot of asset owners insource those activities. Because at the end of the day, that is how they make a difference. It is their core activity. So we're seeing that sort of rebalancing of what constitutes your core activities. So really, I would like to see that accelerate this new view on what is important to us as an investment manager. See that change.
Yeah.
As in actual adoption of stuff.
True adoption, true change.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense, Anders. And, you know, the buy side traditionally has been hesitant. The sell side has been at the forefront of technology and everything. But with the buy side, we are seeing some shifts. We are seeing that adoption. We are seeing, you know, the benefits of that drive of change. But what does the industry, you know, in terms of the buy side, keep forgetting to do?
We recently ran, together with InvestUps, this annual survey globally about investment priorities across the industry. There's quite a number of respondents to that. So it's got a high level of confidence in the numbers. And for the first time in all the time I've been involved in this, at least, we actually see that adoption of innovation is the top priority. And it's a top priority because that's what's in the question. It is to stand out in the face of the competition. So we're seeing a shift from being focused on relatively trivial, I say trivial, operational matters like honing the back office and stuff like that, to actually wanting to stand out, to compete, and to differentiate. And that is a significant change, I think. And I mean, as a player in the industry, anything I or we can do to support that is really exciting. And when you then drill into the sort of the underlying priorities that people have there, some of it is the same stuff that we talked about yesterday. It's like data management and stuff. But you also see some adoption of actual new technology, like bringing in machine learning to start, not so much sometimes to automate stuff that we did actually do yesterday, but more so to do stuff that we simply could not afford as an industry to do yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. That's that change, that real change in attitude towards innovation, as you say, having it at the top of the agenda. And continuing that sort of like theme around innovation and actually what really makes innovation, if we borrow a quote from Henry Ford, who said that, you know, if he'd have actually asked his customers or asked for customer input in terms of what to do in terms of developing the Ford Model T, he famously said, "If I'd asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses." As we've got that focus on technology, what's the best input, advice, or comment you've heard from anyone, be that peers, your team, customers, investors, that's really helped you take a leap forward or encourage your customers, the industry, to adopt technology?
It's funny you pull up that quote because, I mean, years later, Ford struggled because they only wanted to sell a black car, yeah, and not multiple colors. So you also have to listen to customers at the same time, right?
It's a balance, right? Yeah.
And of course, we've all had many interactions with clients that you learn a little nugget, but it's all very incremental. I think I cannot really point to any one situation. Oh, that was really an aha moment where, okay, I went back, did a proposal back off the back of that convinced all my colleagues, and then we just went on a wonderful journey from that. It's never that simple, unfortunately. I would love it to be, but in my experience, it isn't. So I think the best input I've ever gotten from a client, really, and this is going to be much more boring as an answer. We recently brought live a massive change to how we support multi-tenancy. And that was only made possible because a client actually was willing to, was bought into an idea we had for how this could be done in a materially different way. But that's 5 years ago. So they bought into a huge investment on both sides into how to do things differently. And for these guys, that was very much a leap of faith. So I think the input was not so much getting the idea, because we kind of had the idea. What they did was that they expressed that problem. And they gave us enough leeway to then come back with not the solution they were asking for, but actually a much better solution.
No, that's interesting, because it's actually a theme that's run throughout our sort of chat today. It's the innovation, that desire for innovation. It's the ambition, but then it's that all-important adoption, that leap of faith, that jumping a little bit into the unknown. And there's always the option of fail fast, right? But as you say, some of these changes we're talking about, like the adoption of cloud or multi-tenancy, it's been done in other industries and with other big companies with their own security concerns and everything. But as an industry, I think we don't learn probably enough from other industries and take that faith. So it's an interesting theme that's run through. Yeah. So no, I really appreciate that, Anders, in terms of your thoughts around the industry. Just before we move on to a little bit of a chat about you personally, is there anything else that you think our listeners should hear around those themes of innovation, technology, adoption, leap of faith?
I think this might sound a little bit sort of highbrow, but I think that everybody in this industry is serving somebody, like taxpayers, pension holders, insurance premium holders, everything, right? And I don't think that everybody is perhaps as focused as they could be on the responsibilities that entails in terms of how they can actually improve stuff. There's a ton of inefficiencies in this industry still. And I'm not saying it's easy for anybody who's just a, if you will, a cog in the wheel to fix stuff. But if people want to change, they can actually help bring stuff about.
Absolutely. Galvanize the support and it will come. Thanks ever so much for that again. As I say, in our podcast, Let's Talk, we like to get to know our guests on a little bit more of a personal level. So now it's time for Room 101. And for our listeners not familiar with the concept of Room 101, it's actually a BBC series where celebrities, in this case, that's Anders, get to throw away their least favourite thing, their pet hates, their worst nightmares. Why Room 101? It was actually created by George Orwell in a dystopian novel, 1984. And for those that want a little bit more of a fact, George Orwell actually worked for the BBC, and this was the room that he worked in. And apparently it was a really depressing room, which is why he introduced it into 1984. But back to you, Anders. What would you put into Room 101?
Does it have to be from the industry? Or
absolutely not. It can be personal. Hate anything.
Any day I'd stick Brexit in there.
Okay.
I was miffed about the result of the referendum when it happened. We can discuss the numbers. I mean, should you have a vote that is based on just majority and not a qualified majority and all that? But there was a result. I mean, I never believed in it, but somebody did. And they've now had, what, 6+ years to try and make something of it. And I completely understand that at least some of the Brexiters were thinking in generation timescales. But that's not where everybody else lives, right? So change has to happen sooner, and they're not delivering.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, you know, we could do a whole podcast just on that in its own right. What's your favorite analogy about banking?
I don't think I have one. I really don't. Because okay. I've actually spent a lot of time thinking about it, because you do slides all the time. At least when you're in my kind of role, you feel more like a slide jockey than anything else, right? And then you have all these abstract terms you want to come up with a lovely graphic for. But a lot of the stuff we do is so abstract that I don't really think I have a good analogy.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite ones was to do with digital transformation. And it's the caterpillar to the butterfly, because that's quite a nice visual.
Yeah. 2 or 3 years ago, I was involved in kicking off an internal ESG concept, just like anybody else, right? And it actually comes to this, it's quite meaningful today. But in the beginning, we had to figure out, what is this and how do we make sense of it? And one of the things that we figured out that we kind of would like to have that we are missing is a purpose that even a Gen Z would be able to relate to. And if you work in something very, very abstract within the depth of finance, it's really hard to pull out that purpose that gets people up in the morning, that feels makes them feel they're making a difference. That said, I do actually think, and coming back to sort of the fiduciary responsibility point I made before, that actually everybody who works in this industry, they do have some kind of inferred responsibility to somebody else. And that's not an analogy, but I think that is the purpose of this industry. And most people don't really think about that on a day-to-day basis, but I think it is quite important.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, actually. Here at FundApps, we are actually a B Corp. We were the 128th, I think, in the UK, and one of the first 1,000 globally to be a B Corp. So that whole, as you say, good people, good business, good ethics is actually really, really important to us. And I think the whole ESG, it's a nascent concept. There's still a lot to do there, but I think it's definitely something that we want to keep talking about, and certainly something we've looked at for our second season of Let's Talk is actually to talk all about ethics in our industry, which I think will be some interesting conversations and some interesting debate there. So maybe you can come back and have a chat with us about that. In terms of coming back to you, what's top of your bucket list?
I really want to go to Galapagos.
Amazing.
And that is most likely happening next year.
Well, I'm going to Costa Rica in a few weeks. So maybe we can swap stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be really interesting.
I'd love to.
And just finally, if you could be a fly on the wall, who would you listen in on and why?
Given what I said about Brexit before, of course it would be interesting. There's a ton of times when it would have been interesting to understand, did they really mean this, or is it just what they thought that the voting public would react to? But that's an easy answer, negative one. Actually, I think Zelensky. I have a ton of Ukrainian colleagues, and I follow Ukrainian politics a little bit. And he was an all right president. He was nothing special. He was the most special about him was that he was an actor, right, turned politician. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall, or maybe actually in his mind at the time, roughly a year ago, when he realized that he had to transition into full-time acting as a politician. He's done extremely well. He is so credible. And he's obviously pulling on some of his acting talent as well. But it works. That's his Churchillian moment, right?
Absolutely. It's definitely an example of a man that's stepped up and stepped in with broad shoulders. Thanks ever so much, Anders. That's been really interesting. Any final words for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. We've touched on this a couple of times today. There is a wealth of innovation going on across the industry, and it is not being adopted. Tons of companies are simply not utilizing the potential that some of these technologies, some of these services have to offer. That is a shame. It's a missed opportunity. And it might be this industry has one of the highest IT budgets as a vertical across any industry. But if you can actually invest a little bit more and then get a return and both on investment, but also really move the business in a different direction to focus more on what the business is actually there to do rather than some of the perhaps more operational stuff, that's got to be worth it.
I like that. Throwing down the innovation technology gauntlet. Thanks very much, Anders.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone for tuning into this episode of Let's Talk, and we look forward to welcoming you back to another episode. Past and future episodes are easy to find on the FundApps website at fundapps.co. And please don't forget to subscribe either on the website or whichever channel you listen to your podcasts on. We also want to hear from you, our listeners. So if you've got any suggestions on what you'd like us to talk about in this or future seasons, get in touch at letstalk@fundapps.co.